Good afternoon. I will now call this meeting of the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is exactly 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, April 11, 2023. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum. Present today are Senator Jesse Keel, Senator Rob Myers, Vice Chair David Wilson, and myself, Chair James Kaufman. And I see no other legislators in the audience. Staffing the committee today is our LIO moderator, Jake Wade, and Johanna Crossett from Records, our Transportation Committee aide, Emma Torkelson. At this time, I'd like to remind everyone to turn off or silence your cell phones. And if you have a good cell phone joke, you can get with me before the next committee hearing. Coming into the room right now at 1:31, we have Senator Lukey Tobin. Welcome to the committee, Lukey. Today we will be considering Senate Bill 123 relating to commercial driver's licenses, introduced as a Senate Transportation Committee bill. This is the first hearing of the bill in the Senate Transportation Committee. It is my intention to hear this bill today, take invited testimony, and then set the bill aside. With that, we will begin. Presenting the bill to the committee today is Emma Torkelson, staff to the Senate Transportation Committee. Ms. Torkelson, please give us an introduction of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Kaufman and members of the Senate Transportation Committee. For the record, Emma Torkelson, staff to Senator Kaufman and the Transportation Committee. Senate Bill 123 repeals the state requirement that applicants for a commercial driver's license have a regular Alaska or regular license for at least a year before they can start the process of applying for a CDL. This requirement was originally enacted in 1985, back when there were fewer requirements, training requirements, that you needed to pass in order to get a CDL. As of February 2022, in addition to state requirements, federal regulators mandated entry-level driver training for all CDL applicants. Now a driver must pass written and physical tests to get their CDL or learner's permit. Then with that permit, they complete entry-level driver training that's federally mandated, which involves a significant theory and testing process as well as a driving evaluation. After that, then they will take a road test with the DMV or registered third party, and at that point they can apply for their final CDL license. This process usually takes a month, if not longer, and it ensures that the applicant is ready and safe to drive commercial vehicles on the roads. Under current state statute, a prospective truck driver cannot get their commercial learner's permit or do any of the federally mandated training under that permit until they've had a regular license for a year. So for individuals, say, coming in from rural communities, new folks to the country, or people like me who waited to get their license till they were a little bit older, waiting that year can present a barrier to entry if they are interested in joining the trucking industry. The Alaska Trucking Association estimates that Alaska is about 500 drivers short, which obviously presents a risk to any industry that relies on truck drivers. So with the passage of SB 123, although it doesn't apply to a ton of people, it's a workforce that is interested in joining the trucking industry and that currently is being prevented by a rule that just isn't as relevant anymore now that we have all these rigorous requirements for training and testing that make sure that they're ready and safe to drive a commercial vehicle. So with that, I'm happy to go through the sectional quickly, and then we also have some invited testifiers online.
Any questions at this point? So yes, please, if you would, go through the section.
Thank you, Chair Kaufman. So Section 1 amends AS 2833100A to remove subsection 2, which requires an applicant for a commercial driver's license to have held a regular driver's license for at least 1 year before beginning the CDL certification process. They still will be required to be 18 for intrastate commerce, 21 for interstate commerce. They need to successfully complete all of their required driving, written, and physical examinations, as well as be domiciled here in Alaska and not hold a license in any other state. And then Section 2 sets a January 20, 2024 effective date. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. That was grueling. So, we have a question here, Senator Tolman.
Thank you very much, Chair Kaufman. I'm curious why January 20th and not the 1st?
Through the chair to Senator Tobin, it's our understanding this language mirrors a House bill, House Bill 124. That's what they had in the bill. When I asked why the effective date, that was something that was pitched to them by the industry. So if that's a concern by committee members or members of the industry, that could certainly be changed. But at this point, it's currently January 20th, 2024.
Possibly we'll find, hear from the invited testimony the rationale for that. Any other questions? So, okay, well, thank you. And we'll now move on to invited testimony. Today we have two invited testifiers, Joe Michelle, Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association. And also online we have Joey Crum, CEO of Northern Industrial Training, and seems like we have Jeffrey Schmitz, Division Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles, online to answer questions. So, Mr. Michelle, would you, if you're online, please put yourself on the record and provide your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Joe Michelle. I'm with the Alaska Trucking Association. First off, I want to thank the Transportation Committee for sponsoring this bill. It seems like it's, just some nickel and dime stuff, but this will go a long way just to remove impairments for men and women, young men and women, to enter the trucking industry. I mainly wanted to be here to answer questions. Mr. Crum is an expert in training truck drivers, running Northern Industrial Training. He can speak as a registered training provider of a lot of the hoops and the requirements that go into training up a truck driver for our industry. So I really wanted to be available for questions.
Okay. Well, great. Then thank you, and we'll get with you if we have any. So then we'll switch to Joey Crum, CEO of Northern Industrial Training. Mr. Crum, we have a question.
Thank you, Joe. I just have a question in terms of, was this requirement more in place so folks that come from, let's say, a desert entity, we'll pick Nevada, come to Alaska, they have a year of Alaska weather experience before applying? And do you see a difference of CDL operators, let's say, that come from Nevada that then come to Alaska? Is there any difference in operation? I mean, we all know they have a license to carry, but just want to make sure that license to carry is used well.
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, absolutely. That would be a real concern. I mean, we all know exactly how much we forget about driving the second the snow flies every year for every one of us Alaskan drivers that, hit the snow again. Currently, somebody from Nevada with a CDL that would come to Alaska, they would be on the roads at that moment in time anyway. There's requirements if you're going to be domiciled in the state of Alaska, and you have an outside of the state issued CDL, within 30 days, you're supposed to go down to the DMV and turn your CDL over and get an Alaskan CDL. So it would be, I don't know the justification of the original reason that they put the 1 year driver's license requirement in. I think it was back in 1985, but that would be a real concern, but that'd be a concern for anybody coming from a dry climate and suddenly learning to drive on ice.
Follow up. All right. Well, thank you for that, Mr. Michelle. So we'll switch now to Joey Crum, CEO of Northern Industrial Training, if you would. Mr. Crum, please place yourself on the record.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Joey Crum, and I am the president and CEO of Northern Industrial Training, or NIT. At NIT, we train people to go to work. We are workforce development specialists that work with employers and community organizations to determine what needs to be done to prepare a local workforce for the upcoming opportunities. One of our strongest programs is training and preparing people to drive commercial vehicles. People from all over the state come to our facilities in Palmer or Fairbanks to attend programs, but we also train drivers statewide, including there in Juneau in partnership with Clink at Haida. When you work with as many people as we do, you see patterns and flow. We see the flow of people thinking about and ultimately selecting careers and the pathways to get them to their goal. In that flow, you also see barriers, and often they really stand out, like a big boulder in a stream damming the most efficient path for water. I think that's a good way to look at this bill. SB 123 removes a barrier and allows for a more efficient training flow. We see a lot of young people who are interested in jobs that require CDL lose interest because of the current law. Now, passing SB 123 is not going to show up on the Richter scale or move the earth, but it is something that is necessary and will definitely help people, especially the most adversely affected people that live in rural Alaska. SB 123 removes an outdated barrier by removing the one-year requirement of having a regular driver's license before someone can test for a CDL. New federal rules and safety standards implemented just over a year ago to be exact February 7th of 2022 pretty much make the current statute moot. I think we can all see what they were trying to do here with this requirement when they put it in over 30 years ago. They thought they'd require someone to drive a car for a year and then be ready to drive a truck or a bus. Well, that's not the way it works, because having or not having a license doesn't ensure that they did or didn't drive. The committee can see that someone could hold a regular license for a year but not even drive at all, but somehow still meet the requirement. Senator Meyer will tell you that's no way to train truck drivers. I'll stop there, Mr. Chairman, but I'll stay in the line and be glad to answer any questions about the mechanics of the federal requirements or anything else that the committee has questions on.
Thank you, Mr. Crum. Seems you have triggered Senator Myers. He has a question for you, or at least a comment.
Just a comment, Mr. Chair. To Mr. Crum's point, at the time that I first got my CDL, I didn't even actually own a car. At that point, I'd had my license for 5 years. I'd learned to drive, but I didn't even own a car at that point. And so I understand his point there.
Thank you. Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Crum, for being online today. Would you be able to just a rough estimate of how long it would take someone that has a driver's license just basically to get a CDL, just that time frame?
Through the chair. There is no federal hour requirement that somebody has to meet. And this is a little bit of a long-winded approach, Senator Wilson, but the steps include the normal processes that have always been there about taking the required written exams at the DMV or from one of the approved third parties to get a permit. Then you cannot take the practical road exam for a minimum of 14 days after the issuance of that. But now the new requirements add additional factors on that you have to take a written examinations that cover about 30 topics for Class A CDLs. And then you have to pass a performance evaluation that says you are proficient enough to even test. So all said and done, I would recommend a minimum of about 4 weeks. Can be done shorter, some take longer, but that seems to be so far the happy medium.
Just as a follow-up.
Senator Wilson, yes, follow-up.
Thank you. Through the chair, thanks for that. I was just looking to see about just in terms of a training school, if someone went to take a school, or you know, I think either like a bus driver training, or if I went to attend, I don't know, something in the Palmer area of a NIT training course on CDL licensure, how long would that take? I mean, just in normal standards of class on a statewide basis, the training requirements.
Well, through the chair, if we were going for a Class A, which is a tractor trailer, on average, it's going to take 4 weeks. If you have access to a truck on your own or previous experience, it can be shortened down. Bus is a Class B. The operating principles aren't quite as complex, so it can be done in a shorter period of time. But you are looking at most likely 2 weeks at a minimum.
This is a comment, Mr. Chair.
Yes, comment, please.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we're not taking any shortcuts and that we're steering on the right side of the road. And
Oh, my.
Keeping safe.
And just a time check. That was the Senate chimes that we're hearing. And so we have about 15 minutes on this and to wrap up. So, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I need a little further education, and I'm glad we've got someone who does this training on the line. While it's certainly the case that having a driver's license doesn't guarantee you're on the roads practicing, the reverse is also true, or needs to be, right? If you don't have one, you're not getting any experience. And I guess when I think back on learning to drive, there's an element of familiarity, anticipating traffic, things that you just need some experience to do. So a question probably for Mr. Crum. You talked about a performance, I'm going to get the terms wrong, evaluation before you are qualified to test. Can you talk to us then about what is evaluated in that?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, yes, I can. I wholeheartedly agree that safety is the feature. The point that I'm making is that there was the CDL rules in place that require not only theory, but this practical performance review is basically a registered training provider registered with the Federal Motor Safety Carrier Administration must submit in writing to the FMCSA that they have evaluated an applicant for driving skill. They have to demonstrate a certain amount of proficiency in different maneuvers and levels on the road prior to them even being able to road exam and be issued a CDL test. So a simple way to look at it is they basically pass a road test before they can take the licensure road test.
Follow up?
Thank you. That's helpful. Another question, I guess, and might be to sponsor staff, might be to the DMV. As Mr. Crum said, the safety is the key thing here. If these new federal requirements meet our safety needs, is there a reason that the department hasn't made them experience qualifications under the segment that's getting deleted? Do we need a bill, or could the department just say by regulation that these get the job done?
Through the chair to Senator Keel, I may call on Jeffrey Schmitz, the director of the DMV, in a moment. But to initially speak to your question, because that requirement needs to be fulfilled before the permitting process can start, that would, in order for an experience qualification in regulation, essentially, in order for something to fulfill that part of the statute, that has to take place before you can start any of the training. Therefore, since you can't take the federal training before that year is up, then you wouldn't be able to meet that section of statute, because that has to happen before you start the process. And the federal training cannot be started until you get your permit and can take your federal entry-level driver training. But I'll also call on Jeffrey Schmitz, and he may be able to speak more clearly to your question.
It sounds like perhaps a catch-22 situation. So, Mr. Schmitz, if you're there, put yourself on the record, and if you can, answer our question.
Mr. Chair, committee members, for the record, this is Jeffrey Schmitz, director of the DMV. I believe the question had to do with the current statute even needed anymore because – there's these new federal regulations. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator Keel, clarify.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Schmitz, the question was, if the new federal requirements take care of all the safety concerns that we had under this old statute about having a year of experience, why not just make completion of federal entry-level driver training experience qualifications established by the department and obviate any need for a bill?
Mr. Chair, committee members, again, Jeff Schmitz, DMV director. It's a great question. And again, this bill speaks to sort of talking to, about what the current state of affairs are with the new federal requirements that came in February of 2022. This new federal training is required. As someone mentioned earlier, we believe that the safety standard of 1 year behind the wheel was created some 38 years ago, back in the 1980s. And again, you can see the potential value of that, of having someone drive, get experience driving for a year before they jump behind a commercial vehicle, which are infinitely more difficult to drive and understand on the roads. And you know, does that year of experience driving a car provide you with a base to be able to learn to drive a commercial vehicle? That I would imagine that's the reason why it was put in as a safety standard. Now, with federal requirements of having to go through this federal training, which is, you know, can be 2 or 4 weeks, as a testifier earlier provided, I suppose the question would be before the committee is, you know, what do you think is the most important? Is it safety, or is it speed to get through the process so someone can apply for an ID? In theory, with only 4 weeks of training, someone could do it a month after they receive their regular license, and they've received the training, and now they're driving commercial vehicles. So, you know, DMV doesn't take a position on this either way. We're neutral on the bill itself, but it's just a matter of, you know, what's more important to the committee in terms of policy. Do you want the process expedited, or do you feel having drivers drive for 1 year is still an important requirement for safety purposes?
Follow up?
I think I'll follow up offline where we can have a back and forth. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Tobin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I think this question might be for Mr. Crum. Mr. Crum, I'm admittedly not an expert in CDLs. I had to turn to my father, who you know. And he made a point that I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on, which is similar to what Senator Keel was asking, that obviously we want everyone who is operating heavy equipment to be comfortable and familiar and understand the rules of the road and driving protocols. So with this piece of legislation, do you anticipate your program offering extended potential remedial or preparatory training to ensure that someone does know driving protocols, understand the bounds, if they may be someone who is, say, 18, 19, 20, coming into your program and they do not or have not held an ADL before?
Through the chair, Senator Tobin, and I think it is important to note that removal of a one-year requirement does not remove the requirement that someone possess a regular driver's license prior to getting the necessary CDL training. In order to get a regular driver's license, you have to demonstrate proficiency in your regular test. So they still have to demonstrate and have the performance. Now they have the license, we can get them into a registered training provider and go through the process of it. So what I truly anticipate the benefit is really opening up opportunities. So we often think of a CDL and immediately go to the biggest, longest, heaviest vehicle on the road. What we need to remember is that if a vehicle has, say, 125 gallons of diesel in the back of it, and it's used to fill up equipment that requires a hazardous materials endorsement to the CDL, or if it's a 16-passenger van, requires a CDL. So when we start talking about CDLs, we need to make sure there's a big range of them. I do not believe safety will be impacted, because you have to demonstrate performance for a regular driver's license. You have to complete the entire process and enter twice proficiency to get your CDL. And then you have to demonstrate proficiency to get hired. Did that answer your question?
I think you did a good job of answering, but unfortunately the audio was kind of sketchy. Can you perhaps just give a brief summary of what you just said, and or perhaps send that in as written testimony?
I will send it in as written testimony. I apologize. I am in a UAS building and have questionable signal at the moment. To summarize, public safety will be an issue. A person has to demonstrate their proficiency in safety to get a driver's license. That will remain in effect. They then have to demonstrate not only theory, but practically twice their efficiency and safety to get a CDL. And then their employer is required to then do a drive test on them as well. So there are many steps built in the process to make sure that the person that is out on the road can handle that vehicle.
Okay, just a brief time check. We have 1:56. We have until just before 2 o'clock. And any other questions? Okay, just a brief at ease. Okay, back on the record. So we'll set SB 123 aside. I'm setting an amendment deadline for Thursday, April 13th at noon for Senate Bill 123. Please deliver any amendments to my office. So closing and wrap up, I'd just like to say thank you to everyone, to all for their testimony today. And as always, for the folks who help us make these committees run smoothly, our next regularly scheduled meeting will be Thursday, April 13th, 2023, when we will be holding a second hearing and public testimony for SB 123. Any closing comments from the committee members? Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say you did a great job, and 18 really good job on steering us the right way.
Oh, my. Thank you. Yeah, this was a quick one. So any other closing comments? So any bad jokes? All right. Closing. So with no other comments, this meeting is now adjourned.